On in.
You're right.
I hope you are fighting fit, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raring for the day ahead. It is Tuesday, the 24th of February, in the year of our Lord, 2026. It has just ticked past 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I am joined by my producer, Little Harry, who isn't all that little. How are you, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. Great. I hope you're ready for the day ahead. Let's just jump straight into it, shall we? With no further ado, what is the corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? All right, it's a Mandy day. There you go. It's a Mandy day today. Peter Mandelson, the Lord Mandelson, as was, he's been arrested. Been arrested finally. I don't know why it took him sort of 17 days to come to that decision. But anyway, okay, Mandelson arrested and 4 years of tears in Ukraine. All right, let's have a look then. The Daily Telegraph, just Mandelson arrested. So I think all but one of the papers, maybe two, but nearly all of them, I just go with this. Again, the same, pretty much the exact same image. This is him being led away from his home. He was arrested in the afternoon yesterday, which is slightly unusual. Like about 4:30 in the afternoon yesterday. It's slightly unusual, not unheard of, far from unheard of, but usually they'll do it in the morning. Some people saying that perhaps it suggests that they got some fresh information that day, yesterday. And they decided to swoop at that point. Okay, Labour grandee marched from his home over Epstein's scandal in what the Telegraph call a defining moment of Starmer's premiership. Is it? It might be. Possibly, I wouldn't say so. The defining moment, but I mean, it's not, perhaps not a crazy exaggeration. Maybe a defining moment for Mandy's life. I mean, he's in his mid-70s. I'm glad he's done. His political career is done. Whatever happens, he's not coming back into frontline politics. Well, Labour will be out of government in a couple of years, 3 years. Hopefully, won't come back for a generation or ever. Hopefully, ever. The Labour Party, filth since inception, since the 1910s and the 1920s, since the beginning, have always been commie filth. Always. All right. Nottingham killer freed because he was black. That's just the way, if anyone remembers, there's this black guy in Nottingham who did some horrific killings. He was like schizophrenic and stuff. I don't know if he was schizophrenic, but he had, whatever it was, some terrible mental health issues. Anyway, in the investigation into it all, is that the authorities, people that really should have had him sectioned indefinitely, didn't because of fears of being called racist. I don't know how much damage anti-racism has to do to our society before people abandon it. You know, like the Manchester Arena bomber dude, Abedi, or whatever his name was. Apparently there were people there on that day that were suspicious, security guards and things, that were suspicious of him, but didn't approach him or do anything or say anything because of fears of being called racist. It still goes on today, doesn't it? All the time, constantly. Racism, racism. You can't do or think or anything that's even hints at racism, right? Vienna can't have a statue to victories they might have won centuries ago because of racism. It's just endless, isn't it? It's just endless. Well, it cost a few people their lives in Nottingham that day, didn't it? All right. Russia losing more troops than it can recruit. This is a bit of a thing in the Western media, the sort of anti-Western media. Not that I'm pro-Russian. Saying they're running out of men. If anything, they're not running out of men. Ukraine are running out of men. Well, running out of recruits is a different thing, isn't it? Russia might be running out of recruits. They're not running out of men. Ukraine's actually running out of men. Anyway. Judges given millions to clear court backlog. Why have we got such a giant backlog? Is it because we've imported millions of people and the crime rate among those people is sky high? Is that why? Can't ask that question. That's racist, isn't it? Everyone with me. Racism. All together now. BBC failed to edit out M-word from BAFTAs. Iran plots wave of terror if Trump strikes. That's nice, isn't it? That's nice. That allays fears that it is, in fact, just some sort of terror regime. That they're the goodies and America are the baddies in this whole thing. Yeah, right. Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's have a look. What have we got? The Guardian. Don't. Why do you have to? Can you just... What? I don't... The Guardian. Absolutely disgusting. I would close it down. I think I would weather the accusations of being a tyrant or a dictator. If I was Lord Protector or Prime Minister, I'll just put up with those accusations and just unilaterally send round police or the army to just close the Guardian on day one. Just close it. Take the people out. Close the building. That's it. That's it. Maybe demolish the building. Okay, Mandelson arrested on suspicion of misconduct over Epstein links. Met investigating claims, ex-ambassador leaks sensitive information. Yeah, we've got it. This is what most of the papers are this morning. BBC apologises after a racial slur during BAFTAs. Hungary has sabotaged Ukraine support, say the EU. I doubt it. Nothing's going to really stop the pro-Ukraine lobby at this point. But they go ahead with more and more billions of euros of aid, quote-unquote aid, to them, regardless of anything, don't they? Regardless of the fact it's obviously embezzled and misspent. Just disappears. It's just still endless support for him. Regardless of what Hungary might say or do. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times. Mandelson arrested over secrets passed to Epstein. Former ambassador to US led away from London home on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Just to let you know, he has already been released on bail. So they interviewed him for a few hours, but by late last night, was it late last night? He was already out. But still under investigation. Okay, Labour to end middle-class domination of top schools. Classic commie, classic resentment from socialists and commies. How you really define what middle-class really means. Or what school is or isn't a top-flight school. Regardless of that, they just don't like any sort of achievement, do they? Socialists, leftists. They can't stand it. They can't stand excellence. They can't stand beauty. They can't stand anything good and virtuous and righteous. So kids with a bit of money going to school, getting first-class educations, can't have that. Oh, no, no, no. No, we have to put a stop to that. We have to crowbar in low-achieving kids for equity, because of fairness. Is it because of fairness? Is that what it is, really? The ultimate motivation from a lot of leftists, fairness, is it? Or is it resentment? Is it a chip on their shoulder that they're lame? They're ugly and broken and stupid, and they hate people that aren't. I have to tear them down at every possible angle, from every possible angle. Every snickering at all that. It's true, though, isn't it? The dysgenic freaks are the lefties, aren't they? All right, the Eye paper. Mandelson arrest sparks jeopardy for number 10. It doesn't look good, does it? It pours more cold water on Keir Starmer's reputation as having any sort of political acumen. His judge of character. It's one of the main things you need to be Prime Minister. One of the main things. Because you have to pick loads and loads of people's jobs. The patronage of a Prime Minister is that you get to shuffle things around, move people around, put people in positions. It's one of the main things, really. Doesn't that require a good judge of character? Starmer hasn't got any. Doesn't seem to have any. Never really has shown that he's got any judge of character, let alone a good judge of character. Right, the little blurb says, Peter Mandelson arrested... Actually, it's the same thing. You get it. He's been arrested. That's it. That's all you need to know. All right, the Sun. There you go. Almost the same picture. Not the exact same picture that all the others, but a very similar one. Taken a few seconds before or after, you would have thought. Things can only get sweatier. Anyone who might not get that, like an American or something, someone watching from Denmark or something. What's that about? What's he talking about? Harry, you probably wouldn't get that, would you?
No, not at all.
Right, okay. Well, it's a reference to one, Andrew not being able to sweat, apparently, which is weird. I'm not even sure if that's possible. But the other thing is, in 1997, when New Labour got in, their song was Things Can Only Get Better. You know that song? Things can only get better. You know that song?
Yeah.
Okay. That was their anthem. That was like their anthem. Things can only get sweatier. It's a push, isn't it? It's as a pun, it's they're really struggling. Things can only get sweatier. It's not a great pun, the sun. Do better. Be better. Things can only get sweatier. That's crap. Right, the mirror. Terrible mirror. The mirror is what is really bad. Getting worse and worse and worse. Getting more and more left-wing and globalist. Insane, in my opinion. Disgraced Lord held. Mandelson is arrested. All right, we get it. All right. The Daily Mail pretending not to be slop when it really, really is slop. Same picture. Now Mandelson faces the music. Days after Andrew, comma, ashen-faced architect of New Labour is led away by police too. Yeah, no, he doesn't look happy, does he? I'm prepared to gloat a bit more about Mandy, to be perfectly honest. Gloating isn't a good look. I try and keep it to a minimum. Because whenever leftists do it, it is annoying and frustrating, right? When something really bad happens or to the right, one way or another. Like Trump loses something bad or whatever, you know. And the leftists just gloat. Like them gloating about Charlie Kirk's murder or whatever. Oh. Terrible. So I try to keep gloating to a minimum. Sometimes you can't really help it, don't you? Like, I despise Andrew. Despise is a bit strong. I very, very much dislike Andrew. But I didn't really feel the need to gloat about him being arrested. It's just like, well, it is what it is. Some justice is hopefully going to get done. I just felt like that about it. That was my real feeling. Just, well, good, I suppose. Yeah. But Mandy. It's great. I love it. It's again, it's hubris. He sort of deserves it. I feel like he kind of deserves, not that Andy doesn't, Andrew Sachs-Coburg. Not that he doesn't deserve it, he does, seems like he does. But just personally, my gut feeling is that Mandelson really, this fall from grace is like hubris. It's just, okay, I'll leave it there, but I just find it, the pain is calling, oh Mandy. I would love it if he went to prison, if he actually went to prison. He might still not. He might go to court, be found guilty, and then still get a suspended sentence or something, or a big fine or something. But I would love it if he actually had a custodial sentence where he had to go to prison. They'd probably put him in a minimum security Jeffrey Archer one, wouldn't they? Where he just gets to play pool. Imagine Mandy playing pool with other lags. They'll probably put him in a minimum security one, where it's more like a holiday home. Gets to watch DVDs all day. Gets to go home at the weekends. All right, Mandy's downfall. The Financial Times, same picture. Mandelson arrested on suspicion of misconduct over Epstein connection. Hey guys, Mandy got arrested. That's another day when we can not talk about Ehud Barak, yeah? Let's talk. Everyone talk about Mandy tomorrow, but don't mention when he was on Nathaniel Rothschild's yacht with George Osborne and Jeffrey Epstein. Don't mention, don't put a picture of the Rothschild yacht, though. Yeah? Yeah? Good. Got it. Okay, cool. Zelensky says Ukraine and Russia at beginning of the end of bitter conflict. Good, get it done then. Just end it. Then. The Metro. Sorry, you've got to make yourself laugh sometimes, haven't you? It's not funny though. The Metro's not funny. It's not a laughing matter. It's disgusting. Okay. A big picture of Volodymyr Zelensky looking serious, pretending he's not a hand-picked shill, pretending he didn't used to just be a TV comedian and was hand-picked to be a WEF globalist shill. Pretending that he really cares, that it's not just an exercise in embezzling billions of pounds. Dollars. When are you going to hold elections, Zelensky? Police come for Mandelson. All right, we get it. The Express, oh, it's a good paper. Oh, God, Begum, oh, my God. Why won't she go away? Why won't this story go away? Why won't this story flush? Shamina Begum in the news again. Ugh. All right. Messages from best friend reveal her hopes to escape Syria using people smugglers. Nice. Yeah, classic Begum move. Plot to bring jihadi bride Shamina back to UK. All right, let's talk about it a little bit, shall we? Let's talk about this a little bit, shall we? I'll explain it as though you've never heard of it before, because maybe some people, foreign people, haven't really heard about it before or don't remember the details exactly. Okay. Years ago, what, in like 2015 or 16, whenever it was, a long time ago, when ISIS were at its height, the Islamic State, she just left Britain. She was born in Britain to Bangladeshi parents, right? And she was 15 at the time. And she just left Britain with two other friends, schoolgirl friends, without their parents knowing, without anyone knowing, just left Britain and travelled to Syria to join ISIS. Now, some of the allegations are that she was, quote, groomed online. Like, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. Let's start there. Like, you don't know the difference between right and wrong when you're 15. Like, you're not responsible for what you do when you're 15. You are. You are. If you murder someone at 15, you're still responsible for it. Not that I'm saying she murdered anyone personally or anything, but I'm saying the idea, the concept, Kevin Maguire, of the Mirror. I saw you on ITV News this morning, scumbag. The idea that you're not responsible for what you do because you were 15. No. You are. Of course you are. Of course you are. What kind of argument's that? She was good. It wasn't me. I didn't mean to leave Britain and travel to Syria. Someone made me do it. No, they didn't make her do it. Ultimately, she was responsible for that. To join a force that is against us fundamentally, profoundly. A terrorist group, ISIS. I won't go into all the crimes that ISIS did. Insane things. Putting a Jordanian pilot in a cage and setting him alight whilst he was alive. Stuff like that. Beheadings. The whole nine yards. The full Islamist smorgasbord of repression and oppression and crimes. ISIS, terrible. No question about that. No question that they're just like a crazy, crazy terrorist organisation. Okay. So she left there and went there. Then, apparently, allegedly, largely according to the Telegraph, but anyway, allegedly, while she was there, she acted as some sort of enforcer of Islamic laws for women, like the dress codes and things. So she was like full bore on board with the ISIS project, with ISIS ideology, allegedly. Well, some say that she sewed up suicide bomb vests. That really is allegedly. The Telegraph reported that, but later reports said there's no evidence of that. Okay, that's slightly more shaky, but nonetheless. She married a bunch of ISIS warriors, had three different kids, and they all died in infancy. And then when she was interviewed, and then, And then ISIS lose on the battlefield, essentially, right? Eventually they lose. And it's at that point she starts making noises about that she wants to come home. She stops wearing the full black ninja outfit and starts wearing a t-shirt and a baseball cap again. pretending she's Western again. No. And in the early interviews, she expressed no regret for what she had done, basically. One example, she was asked about the Manchester Arena bombing, and she expressed sympathy with the bomber. Yeah. Was she groomed into saying that, Kevin Maguire? Was she groomed into saying that and thinking that? No, that's who she was. No, that's who she is. Yeah. I think she is an absolute scumbag, and I don't want her in my country. Why would you want someone like this in your country? Why would you? How does that make sense? Some have argued, oh, she should face trial here for her crimes. No, why should she? Why? No. She can stay there. She made her bed, she can live it. I mean, someone like Peter Hitchens makes the argument that it's just the Christian thing to do to forgive her. No. What a nonsense boomer argument that is. What a stupid argument that is. Peter, you're so contrarian, you find yourself arguing on behalf of terrorists. Nutter. Oh, sickening. What a sickening take that is. So anyway, she wanted to come back to Britain in like 2019 because her side had lost on the battlefield. That's why. You think if ISIS had dominated the Near East, she wouldn't still be there? Like pushing the whole project forward? Of course she would. It's just that she lost. Her other two friends got killed, by the way. Tiny violin. Right, so in 2019, roughly, she wanted to come back, and the Home Secretary at the time, Sahi Javid, said no, the Home Office essentially says no, and we'll strip you of your citizenship, so you can't. Which they did, because she was part of a terrorist organisation. She'd chosen to be part of a terrorist organisation. Don't give me that she was 15, she didn't know what she was doing, she was groomed, it wasn't her fault. It was her fault. She's responsible for that. Right, so they stripped of her citizenship. And so then, over the next few years, up until now still, up until 2024, trying to go through all the processes of legally having that revoked or rescinded or rejected. And it went through the courts of appeal, she lost. It went to some sort of special immigration tribunal type committee thing, she lost there. It finally went to the Supreme Court of Britain. The Supreme Court. There's nothing higher than that for a final appeal, and she lost. Even the Supreme Court, even the Labour lefty bleeding heart liberal Supreme Court said no. The Home Office is right to strip you of your citizenship. At that point in 2024, legally that's the end of the story. She's exhausted all her options to legally have her get her citizenship back and return. So that really should be the end of the story for people like Kevin Maguire or Peter Hitchens or anyone trying to make the argument that she should come back. That she's got no legal basis now to come back. It's not just a matter of what's right and wrong, the morality of it. Legally, she can't. So it should be the end of why the story isn't just gone away. Because it's a classic sort of lightning rod for those that want to destroy our society and our country. If you can get Shamina Begum back, if you can force the country to take her back, then you can, you know, it's precedent. You can force us to take anyone always. No, why would we want her back? What possible good is it to have her back? She's the type of people I want less of. She's exactly the type of person I want less of. Oh, and as for Bangladesh, her mother's died of natural causes in the intervening years. Her father, though, has moved back to Bangladesh. Why is she still in a camp in Syria? Why doesn't she go back to Bangladesh and be reunited with her father? Because the Bangladeshi government said if she came here, we'd execute her because she's a terrorist. Bangladesh, a Muslim country, Bangladesh. But we should have her, should we? Peter, should we? Nutter. Weirdo. What a weird take. What a really weird take. Well, and now it looks like she's just trying to get human trafficked back to Britain. Ugh, go away. Ugh. Ugh, get lost. I wonder what would happen, though, incidentally, if she did somehow get herself trafficked from Syria. I believe she's actually still in Syria at this moment in time. She somehow got herself trafficked to Calais and then in a dinghy across the channel. Whether she'd be put up in a hotel. Sure, if just imagine it happened. Surely she'd be arrested and put in prison and then put on trial. Don't know, maybe not. But okay. Shamina Begum, absolute scumbag who I've got no sympathy for. No forgiveness. No forgiveness. Why should I? Why should we? Ugh. She chose what side she wanted to be on. That of insane, homicidal Islamists. And now she just wants back because they lost. Well, no. No. Okay. The star. Meet Hugo, the UK's first baby womb donor. The first dead womb donor baby. Okay, this woman got a womb transplant from someone who had passed away and had a healthy baby. So it's like a medical first. Interesting? I wouldn't necessarily put it on the front page if I was the editor of The Star, but an interesting. Our little miracle. Yeah, it's a bit of a miracle, isn't it? Gives hope to some women who might not be able to have a baby. Okay, there you go. That's the front pages. Let us have a quick look at our poll. Harry, put the poll up on my screen. Engage. Make it so. Oh, we went with the Begum one. We said, should Shamina Begum be allowed to return to the UK? 95% of you say no. It's a bit of a slam dunk, wasn't it? Hopefully nearly everyone. Well, it was nearly everyone, wasn't it? Hopefully nearly everyone who watches The Bo Show. Breakfast with Bo. Colloquially known as The Bo Show. Would agree with me. And you nearly all do. Which is nice. Which is great. I teed you up and you knocked it out of the park. Lovely jubbly. Okay. 3% of you say maybe and 2% say yes, she should be allowed back to the UK. Get out. There's the door. That 2% of you, get out. No, don't go. Don't go. I didn't mean it. I still love you. We can make this work. Yeah, 2%. Choke on that, Kevin Maguire. Choke on that one, P. Hitch. 1,100 odd people more voted on that. Only 2% of them said, yes, we should let a terrorist back. A documented terrorist sympathiser, at least. Weird. 2%. Weird. That should be a 98%, 99%, and maybe 1% or 2%. That said, maybe. All right, anyway, let's move on. Let's have a look at the actual website, shall we? Okay. Let me get my mouse ready. Here we are. All right. So the Mandy story, we'll skip over that because we've done that now. We've talked all about that. But there's Mandy going home. We saw the pictures earlier, didn't we, of him being led out. And there he is later in the evening, at night, 72-year-old Mandy going home. You can watch the BBC, you can watch the moment that he arrives home. 43-second clip if you're so inclined. Check that out. Okay, there's a story that lots of CCTV cameras on trains that actually don't work. So if you get assaulted and or sexually assaulted on a train, it might not actually have caught it. The footage of it. And so the perpetrators get away with it. Yeah. What else do we have? Lib Dems in bid to release files on Andrew trade roll. That might be interesting. Mexico sends thousands of soldiers to stop violence after death of drug lord. Yeah, good. If I was the president of Mexico, I would just, I would certainly call a state of emergency and use the army lows, like Bukele style, to Yeah, yeah, start a civil war against them if need be. Yeah. It sounds harsh, doesn't it? It sounds crazy. But that it's sort of what's necessary, isn't it? If the police, and they are, completely in the pocket of the cartels, you can't trust the police at all. El Mencho was an ex-cop, for example. The police in Mexico are completely compromised. Completely compromised. A lot of the military are as well, but not all of them. I would use the military to, as I say, yeah, have a civil war, a type of civil war with them. Go to a full-blown 100% war with them. You would have to. That's the right thing to do, isn't it? You're just going to let them ruin your country forever. You're going to let them brutalise innocent people endlessly. That's not the right thing to do, is it? Surely that's not the right thing, to just let that go on indefinitely. Surely that's not right. Anyway, that would be me. That would be me. I'd go full Churchill on their asses. We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the streets. We'll fight them in the hills. And we'll never surrender. That's what I would do against the cartels. We'll fight them to the last man. They're disgusting, the cartels. Absolute filth. All right. Let's see what else we've got. Let's see what else we've got. The ITV News. Was there any interesting thing on the ITV News? This guy, the Lip King, has died. He was having yet more surgery and he died. Okay. One particular ex-army, British Army officer, says that there's loads of parallels or echoes between the run-up to World War II and what's going on in between Russia and Ukraine at the moment. I completely disagree. I think there's hardly any parallels. History does often rhyme, doesn't it? That's the old cliche. It never repeats, but it often rhymes. Well, I don't even see a rhyme here. I don't really see any parallels. To be honest, I'm not just trying to be difficult there. It's just a completely different. It's just a completely different thing. The dynamic. All of European, it's very, very different. I don't really get that, but all right. What's the Daily Mail went with? This is the most important story they think. There's a terrible double murder quite a few years back. This poor mum, her two kids and the dog, and this crazy, crazy SOB murdered the mum, one of the daughters, and the dog with a hammer, I believe, and smashed the other girl, but she didn't die, she survived. Now, okay, what a terrible, terrible thing that is. Terrible, terrible thing that is. And now they're saying they're reinvestigating it 30 years later. That's the top story. All right. The Mail, if you say so, Mail Group. Mandelson is released on bail after being quizzed by Scotland Yard's elite celeb squad. Questions over what prompted unusual 4:30 p.m. arrest at disgraced Lord's £7 million home 17 days after his properties. After his properties were searched over links to Epstein. Yeah, it's a bit. Yeah, why did it take 17 days for them to decide to actually arrest him? Not sure. Oh, here we go. Here's one. Now loony Greens call for free-for-all on prostitution and porn as by-election nears. Yeah, they are loonies. That's why some people think the Daily Mail isn't just complete globalist slop. It's because they might do a story like that, which seems, or is, sort of right-leaning or right-of-centre or certainly not full-blown commie. Don't be fooled. Nonetheless, it's actually right, isn't it? I would agree with that take, that they're the loony Greens. It's one of the things he came out with the other day. Well, it's their policy, isn't it, that all drugs should be legalised. All drugs. I've got some libertarian leanings myself. Got the odd libertarian sympathy. But all drugs to be legalised? No. That would be terrible. That would ruin the fabric of society in all sorts of ways. many, many people with addictive personalities would end up just like those zombie people that you see in the streets of San Francisco or whatever. Or just crack addicts until they die. Just take more and more crack until they die. It would increase human misery massively. Not a good idea. Oh, now he's saying all prostitution should be legalised. And porn. No restrictions on porn and prostitution. He's out of his mind, isn't he? He's out of his mind. These are things that would that are at odds with a functioning, healthy, civil society, isn't it? Then that would, I imagine, that is what David Paulden, that's his real name, isn't it? Zach Polensky, real name David Paulden. That's what he would want, ultimately, isn't it? Our society to be torn apart and ripped apart. I mean, it's open borders. Their policy is open borders. So there you go, that's all you really need to know, isn't it? He would ruin this country as hard as he possibly could. His rabbi should have a word with him, really, shouldn't he? Say, wind your neck in, Dave. I gave Andrew a naked massage at Buckingham Palace. Not I, that'll get clipped. This woman says that she gave Andrew a naked massage at Buckingham Palace. The £75 bill was paid by the royal family's Coutts bank check. The royal family bank with a bank called Coutts. And the check was issued by Coutts, apparently. So he's a naughty boy, wasn't he, Andrew? Thought he could do anything. Really just thought he could do anything. There's a story about a poor little monkey that his mum rejected. Thanks, Daily Mail. Here's just a really, really sad black pill for you. Directly from the Daily Mail into your mouth. There you go. Poor little baby monkey that's got a... How that's news, really? That's not news, is it? All right, let's have a look. What else have we got? The Express. Trump issues two-word reason people are trying to assassinate him. I did very, very briefly read that. They do that a lot now in news headlines. The one word or the two-word thing that you need to know about that isn't in the actual headline, so you have to click on the thing. Classic clickbait thing. Whenever I see that, I often think, no, I'm not going to. But this one, I was like, okay, what was the... All right, go on then. What was the two words Trump said? And it was something like, I can't remember the exact two words now, but to paraphrase, it was that he was a very consequential president, something like that. He was just boasting, really. People want to assassinate me because I'm very consequential. Classic Trump, really. Quite funny, really. All right. Epstein targeted in shocking newly unearthed probe, over $50 million in suspicious transfers. Right, there's all sorts of money flying around, crazy amounts of money flying around, wasn't there? From Leslie Wexner, if no one else. Leslie Wexner. What's his connections to Israel, Leslie Wexner? Just look into that one, just that alone. Oh, look, there's that Nottingham killer we mentioned earlier. This chap. This gentleman. Who really, really should have been sectioned, perhaps indefinitely. They didn't want to get called racist, so they let him out into British society to just roam the streets. Murdered people. They murdered people. Great. Brilliant. Thanks, anti-racism. Thanks for that. Anti-racism just means racism against whites. That's what it means. That's what that means. Okay. What else have we got? Let's move on, shall we? Or a quick look at, very super quick look at the Sun. I had one or two bits of... Look, there's he is being led away from the scene of his murders. These three people. Poor, innocent people. But then you've got Hope Not Hate or the Runnymede Trust or whatever saying that the best Britain is a multi-ethnic multiracial one, multicultural one, that anything short of that is wrong. Places are too white. Need to crowbar more people of colour, even into small hamlets and villages, towns, the entire length and breadth of the country. So the murder of these people is just inconsequential to them. It doesn't even make a dent into their ideology or their worldview. To Lisa Nandy, these people's lives are worth nothing. Insane, isn't it? Insane. All right, was there one more piece of slop that was even mildly interesting in The Sun? Or they go with El Mencho. You know, all the various things he did. Look, there's the CJNG. Yeah. Bodies on highway. Yeah, hang a load of people from a highway bridge. Hang them and leave the bodies there. Do it in the dead of night. So in the morning, there's loads of bodies hanging from a motorway overpass. That's normal, isn't it? That's normal. I'd go to war with them if I was the Mexican president. Absolutely. Total war. What a scum. Look, evil, evil. That's the face of evil, of an evil person. Utterly, utterly ruthless. Devoid of any real humanity. Isn't it? The dead eyes of a monster. Oh well, he's dead now. Good. Good. Alright, there's this freak. Kardashian obsessed TV star, the Lip King, 34, died after undergoing cosmetic procedure. Oh well. Oh well. Oh yeah, look, this was a tiny bit of slop that I thought was of mild interest. Very, very mild interest. I'll move on from it quickly, but... There's Epstein's mothballed Lolita Express there. Doesn't look in good nick anymore, does it? And there's a sort of a picture of the interior of it. All beige. Weirdly beige. There's a bed there. There's a bed in the back of it. Ooh. All right. Let's move on. Let's jump across the pond. The New York Slimes. Leading with Mexico stories, actually. Mexico forces say they tracked cartel boss to cabin by following his lover. Yeah, I mean, it's often the way that's how they got Guzman, El Chapo. Well, they got El Chapo two or three times, didn't they? He escaped prison twice, didn't he, El Chapo? At least a couple of times they tracked him down through his mistresses, through the women folk in his life. So there you go. It says, top security officials reveal details of the operation that led to the death of Mexico's most wanted drug cartel leader. Okay, yeah, through his women. Violence wanes, but Mexico remains on edge after killing of cartel boss. Okay. Okay. So there you go. There you go. Ty's not really playing ball today. Which is for that. Yeah, why isn't it? Sort of a very silky finish. Keeps coming up slightly undone. Anyway, I'll stop obsessing about that. What else have we got? The Washington Post. Trump's top general foresees acute risks in an attack on Iran. I thought this was mildly interesting. The Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, so in other words, the most senior military person there is, other than the commander-in-chief himself, of course, and Hegseth will sit above him as well, wouldn't he? But effectively, anyway. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said that a lack of munitions and allied support could mean greater danger for US troops, people familiar with the talks say. Okay. Now, just to let you know how I would do things. I magically found myself President of the United States or Defense Secretary. I'd fire him for that. I'd throw him out on his ear. And I don't want to hear that. I'm not interested in that from my generals. No, you don't complain. You go to war with what you've got. That's the nature of it. We haven't got enough munitions. Well, that's up to you to deal with that. That's your job to deal with that. We'll give you more money if you need. Like, you haven't got enough money. Like, the budget, like, the US defense budget isn't gigantic. You're going to now start moaning you haven't got... No, I don't want to hear that from my generals. You go and do what we tell you to do with what you've got. That's your job. We haven't got enough munitions. Really? Shut up. Bit harsh, but that's the way it should be. That's the way it's got to be. All right. Like, I don't want someone, my joint chief of staff, the chairman of my joint chief of staff, or anyone in the officer corps, hardly anyone in the officer corps, all the way down to majors and captains and lieutenants. Don't moan and complain and be a defeatist. We need you to not be a whining defeatist at all. Not one shred of it. Let the civilians do that. All right, the Australian news. How good. Apparently there's going to be a big documentary or the timeline of terror. Powerful minute-by-minute account of the Bondi terror attack. Just Muslims killing Jews in Australia. Okay. All right, that was the main thing. Wasn't much in Japan, or same old stuff in China. The Russians, the Ruskies, they talk about two suspects in assassination attempt on President Vučić. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct. Arrested in Serbia. So there was an assassination attempt on the Serbian president, apparently. And two people have been arrested for that. Russia, obviously, on like the 4-year anniversary of the Ukraine conflict, they're talking about it, or they talk about it a lot, as you would imagine, right? Anyway, this story says the Russian army clears a Berestok in Donbass region of Ukrainian troops. So the Russians often, not always actually, they do actually, it seems like they report sometimes when they have battlefield reverses or losses. But often though, reporting on their victories, putting the best possible spin on it. I mean, they're Russians, makes sense, doesn't it? They would, wouldn't they? So yeah, another classic Russian story that they're winning more in the Donbass. Russia's investigative committee confirms traffic policeman killed in Moscow blast. Yeah, Ukrainian forces do bombs in Moscow on a semi-regular basis, or assassinate generals in Moscow. But don't necessarily... I mean, they're at war. They're at war, that's what it is. But, you know, don't think the Ukrainians don't stoop to sort of assassination stuff. Or just, you know, domestic... Would you even call it domestic terrorism? Or just terroristic-style tactics in the heart of Moscow and stuff. They do, fairly regularly. It says a Russian story, again, remember, this is a Russian story. It says Ukraine suffers more than 1.5 million casualties since Russia launched special military op. Both countries and media organs on both sides of the aisle on this thing both claim that the other side's running out of conscripts and volunteers and just men in general. Both sides claim that, don't they? All right, the Germans. What are the Germans talking about this morning? They go with an El Mencho thing. There wasn't much interest in the German thing, but even they were talked about El Mencho. Look, two stories on El Mencho. Excessive violence after death of drug lord El Mencho. All right, the French, there wasn't anything of massive interest in the French. What they were talking about, Russia ramps up all kinds of recruitment efforts to support its war effort. There you go. So the French are certainly, Le Monde, are anti-Russian. So they go with the angle that, we just saw a Russian story, didn't we, that the Ukrainians haven't got enough men. Now it's saying that the Russians haven't got enough recruits, one way or another. Don't care about either side. I'd just rather the killing, particularly innocent civilians in Ukraine and the Donbass, stop getting killed. That's all I care about. That's all I want. Okay, science. Couple of bit of science news I thought was interesting. One here: ancient artifacts hint at earliest proto writing. I thought that was not mildly. It's very interesting to me. It looks like, you know, like an even earlier version of cuneiform just these dots as like a type of, not, it's not really writing, is it? But type of communication. I mean, this is sort of 38,000, 40,000 years old. So, you know, long before settled towns or cities or civilizations, these would have still been hunter-gatherer peoples that made these. Interesting. Interesting if true. Some other people just say they're just random dots. That's not... I mean, experts are saying it is a proto-writing. That's interesting, isn't it? Much older than we thought. That would predate, like, Mesopotamian cuneiform, wouldn't it? By a very long way, if it's true. I thought this story was odd and weird, but very, very interesting. Hubble spotted a dark galaxy that's at least 99.9% dark matter. Why is it not letting us see the pictures? Harry. Sort it out for me. I don't know what to click on. Anyway, just quickly to say the story. Don't worry about it. They think they spotted a galaxy that was made out of dark matter. Now, that's at odds, really, with what we thought dark matter was. I have to read more about it. I only saw that headline about 20 minutes before the show started. I was able to read a bit of the article, but as I was reading the article, I was thinking, this doesn't tally up with what I thought science thought dark matter was. So, okay, I'll try and read about it today, maybe bring an update on that tomorrow, but that could be interesting. That could rewrite our understanding of the cosmos a little bit, couldn't it? That's why I find space stuff so interesting, because we find out something new, and suddenly our entire view of the universe changes. What's not to like about that? What's not fascinating about that? You know, find a new type of star. Oh, that can happen. Oh, magnetars are a thing. Oh, okay. Super, super massive, hyper massive black holes are a thing. Oh, okay. That rewrites our understanding of gravity a little bit or something or other, you know. So anyway, maybe we found galaxies, whole galaxies that are made of dark, or almost entirely made of dark matter. We didn't think that's new. That's new to us, if that's real. All right. Let's have a look. We're getting towards the top of the hour. Let's have a quick look at... Oh, was there anything in the space news? There wasn't really much in the space news today. Let's have a look at... On this day in history. You guys like that? I like doing that. So what happened on this day, the 24th of February, throughout, down through the centuries, what of note happened? Okay, on this day, in the year 1525, was the Battle of Pavia. That's when the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, also King of Spain, his troops defeat the French, killing or wounding 5,000 and capturing the French king, Francis I. Yeah. Classic bit of history. So if you want to learn about European history, 15th, 16th century European history, I would say the 16th century is a very, very, very pivotal century. Very, very pivotal. If you want to know about that in detail, good place to start is Charles V. Very, 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 very pivotal figure. And so he was like, he was king of Spain, and just over his relatively long reign, he was a Habsburg as well. He had the old deformed Habsburg jaw. Anyway, he became Holy Roman Emperor. And just over his reign, expanded his dominions massively to become the most powerful man in Europe, arguably the most powerful man in the world, certainly one of the most powerful men in the world. Would have stood up to the Chinese emperor of the day, who knows? Was the Ottoman Sultan almost on a par with him, maybe? Cannot argue that. But certainly was one of the most powerful men in the world, easily the most powerful man in Western and Central Europe, Charles V. There you go. Really, really, really important. Well, I mean, he took the French king prisoner there. That's just one little story in his life and career. He actually went on, that's the Charles V that went on to abdicate towards the end of his life. He lived to be reasonably old for the age and suffered from bad health. He was a Habsburg. He was inbred. So he had bad health. And he actually abdicated. That's super rare. Super, super rare. Certainly in the 16th century. Hardly ever happens. Diocletian abdicated. We mentioned Diocletian yesterday, didn't we? Diocletian abdicated. There was that pope the other year. Just, what was his name? Ratzinger. He abdicated from being a pope, didn't he? It's very rare. Very, very rare. But okay. Charles V. Absolutely pivotal figure in European history. Watch a documentary about it. If you're interested in history. All right. On this day in 1582, Pope Gregory VIII announces the new style calendar, commonly known as the Gregorian calendar. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Quite often you'll see around the 16th, 17th century, sometimes there'll be two dates for things. Because the whole world just didn't immediately adopt the Gregorian calendar. Before that, it would have been, the Julian calendar, is it? That dates back to Julius Caesar, which works pretty well. The Julian calendar and the Gregorian calendar are pretty similar. But if centuries go by, the Julian calendar falls out of whack because of leap years. And anyway, I won't bore you with the detail. But even when you look at the date of the birth of Sir Isaac Newton or something, there'll be two dates. It's possible that there's two different dates, the old Julian calendar and the new Gregorian calendar. And all right, anyway, I find that sort of thing interesting. As a history nerd, going to find calendars and dates interesting, aren't you? Okay, on this day in 1739, the Battle of Colonel, a place called Colonel, the army of Iranian ruler Nadir Shah defeats the forces of the Mughal Emperor of India, Muhammad Shah. There you go. So they still had the Mughal Emperor of India. Muslim. If you're an Indian, sort of a Hindu Indian nationalist, and you hate Muslims, you're welcome. It's the British Empire that basically defeated the Mughal Empire for you in India. You're welcome. And then finally left your country peacefully a couple of hundred years later, but there you go. You're welcome. Okay. In 1821, it's the story of the mentioning that the Mexican Constitution. Mexican Constitution, 1821. Bit of a rocky road on that one. Lots of back and forths on that one. It's not the only constitution. There was, anyway, very messy story. The story of the Mexican Constitution. Okay, on this day in 1868, US House of Representatives, Congress, votes 126 to 47 to impeach President Andrew Johnson. Okay, very, very interesting, I think. Andrew Johnson was the president directly after Abraham Lincoln, right? Abraham Lincoln wins the American Civil War, then promptly gets shot in the back of the head and killed straight after, more or less, by John Wilkes Booth. So his VP becomes president. That's Andrew Johnson, that one. And that Andrew Johnson was dodgy. A little bit of a dodgy guy. He's considered one of the worst presidents. If you're on a tier list, most people put Andrew Johnson quite low. He was dodgy. He tried to do stuff that he wasn't really allowed to do or meant to do. And for example, there's a story all about how he wanted to get rid of one of his ministers, the Secretary of State for War or something, and put a new one in, Ulysses S. Grant, incidentally, who went on to be president himself. But he couldn't just do that. Even the president just didn't have sort of the power to do that. He had to go through the Senate, the Congress and the Senate to do that. And he just did it. And so he's breaking the rules, he's breaking the law. And so he was impeached. Only he was impeached by the Congress, but then he quitted in the Senate. So there you go. There you go. That's Andrew Johnson. Bit of a dodgy politician, really. Not as good as old Honest Abe. I'm an Honest Abe fan. Razor Fist can have a go at me for that one. Razor Fist, not just Razor Fist, a load of people don't like Abraham Lincoln, do they? But, yeah, I'm a bit of a fan. All right, here's what it is. Don't shoot me. in the back of her head with a Derringer. It's bad taste. All right. On this day in 1942, the Battle of Los Angeles takes place. A series of anti-aircraft engagements over the city in response to a rumoured but false Japanese attack. Because obviously Pearl Harbor had happened and, you know, World War II, war in the Pacific. It would last until the morning of the following day. And there's an image of it. Yeah, they thought that the Japanese would do an air raid on the west coast of America. They never did. The only thing they ever did, they could never project their power that far. They did send over one or two balloons, like unmanned balloons with a small amount of explosive or munition under it, which was some sort of timed fuse when it was somewhere over continental the United States would drop its small amount of explosive. I think they did that a bit. And it would nearly always just land in some completely uninhabited remote part of the mountains in Washington State or Oregon or something, or Northern California. Never did anything on a strategic level. But anyway, that night, the Battle of Los Angeles, interesting sort of footnote from history, really. Okay, on this day in 1946, General Juan Perón is first elected president of Argentina. Lots I could say about Perón. I can't now, it's already 9 o'clock, but an interesting person, Perón. Sort of, I would call him a leftist, but not sort of a straight-up leftist. He had sort of his own thing, Peronism. Sort of elements of left and right, kind of. I would still call him a lefty, but anyway. Not exactly. Okay, he's a difficult person. He's one of those people that is a little bit more difficult to sort of pigeonhole. Perón. If you're interested in the history of Argentina, they made that film, didn't they, but with Madonna in it. Oh, that'd be before your time, Harry. All right. There's a film with Madonna in it. It's not a great film, really. On this day, in 2008, Fidel Castro retires as the president of Cuba due to ill health after nearly 50 years of power. Yeah, they destroyed the country of Cuba, basically. Over 50 years, slowly throttled it to death. Fidel Castro once said, during the Cuba Missile Crisis, or slightly after, he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, said something along the lines of, if I had nuclear bombs, I would just simply use them on the United States. Like, unprovoked. If I had them, I'd use them. Yeah, good guy. Good guy. All right, let's have a look at the Super Chats and the Rumble Rants. Okay, on the Rumble Rants, Kalergi says, we're sending the Begum 5% to Bangladesh. You're all joining her. We'll be the change you want to see. Okay, I guess he's talking about the 5% that was in my poll saying yes, she should come back. I think it was only 2%. Have we still got the poll, Harry? I wonder if the numbers have changed at all, whether we're still on. Okay, yeah. So it's 3% said now. 1,700 plus votes. That's a decent cross-section, actually, isn't it? 1,700. That's a decent sample size, isn't it? 1,700. 3% of you say yes, she should be allowed back. 94 say no, and 3% say maybe. But I think that's what you're talking about there, aren't you, Kalergi? That 3%. Yeah, why don't you go to Bangladesh then? Why don't you go and live in a camp with Syria if you love her so much? No, don't go. Don't go. Stay. All right. Kalergi. Kalergi again says, same week Green Party demand UK become the Weimar Republic. Both its leader and election candidate speak on Five Pillars Media. Yeah, Five Pillars Media. That's just that Muslim outlet, isn't it? Right, like the five pillars of Islam, isn't it? Leeds Muslim Council are silent, almost like they know Greens are useful idiots. Yeah. I do feel sorry for the credulous environmentalists that are still on board with the Green Party. Feel sorry for them, kind of, but also, like, wake up. Your party and movement has been co-opted by Islamists and insane communists. You're just some boomer environmentalist who's got a problem with pollution. I don't like pollution. Okay, good, fine, that's good. Good on you. The Green Party has been co-opted by communists and Islamists. Don't vote for them. Don't go door to door. Don't hand out pamphlets on their behalf. Wake up. Hey. Wake up. All right. Let's have a look at the YouTube super chats. There's quite a few, so I'll kind of whip through them, if that's okay. Luke Stewart. Thanks, Luke Stewart. You send your super chats every day, nearly. Or if not every single day. So brilliant. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You've said, good day, Bo, and everyone. How quite enjoy your evening show. Well, I quite enjoy your evening show. Did Little Harry remind you to watch the clip? And I hope you have a good day today. Yeah, Little Harry didn't remind me to watch the clip, but I did watch the clip. You're talking about that Bradbury guy. Yeah, Iron Age agriculturalist, you know, Furus Pertinax, Marcus, an Australian dude, a friend of mine. On Twitter, he just sent me the link, like about 20 minutes after the show. He's like, here's the link of that Bradbury guy, Stephen Bradbury. And he sent me it, and I watched it, and it was brilliant. Yeah, I did watch it, and it's really funny. The very last corner. Like, it's a five-man race, isn't it? And he's at the back. He's definitely going to come last. And in the last corner, they all wipe out. And Bradbury wins. Yeah, it's a brilliant clip. It's a hilarious, brilliant clip. And you can just see the shock on his face. I went from coming last to having a gold medal, an Olympic gold medal, just because you idiots all smashed into each other. Yeah, I watched the clip. It was funny. It was good. Okay. Global Church History said, on this day in 45 BC, Caesar implements his calendar. Okay, right, cool. Was it on this day? Fair enough. I wonder if that's according to the Julian calendar or the Gregorian calendar. Bit interesting. Interesting. Luke Stewart again says, I thought they didn't want smart kids because they, I guess this is about the middle class kids going to a good school, which Labour doesn't like, doesn't want. I thought they didn't want smart kids because they could see through all their bull crap and realise that socialism, communism is just stupid. Yeah, maybe, probably, yeah. Yeah. Socialism is for the small-minded. It's for the stupid. It's for the uneducated. It's for those unlettered in history and economics. Don't know how many times it has to be tried. I don't know how many times it has to be shown that it doesn't work. Socialism and communism. All right. Krish281, thanks for the money there. You say, the Begum story will not go away because the left never take no for an answer. Right, yeah. They just go away for a bit and try again until they get their way. Yeah, it is what they do, isn't it? Yeah, good call. That is what they do. As I say earlier, it's just a great lightning rod for them. Just keep pushing that. Mad though, it reveals their preferences, doesn't it? It reveals their in-group preference for foreign people, foreign terrorists, at the very least a terrorist apologist. That's who they will champion. An ISIS bride. Scum. They're a scumser. Luke Stewart again says, maybe she can come back, I guess talking about Begum again, maybe she can come back if she eats an entire roast hog. And Christian thing to do is to say Deus Vult and take back the Holy Lands. Deus Vult. Yeah, that's the Christian thing to do. I like the type of Christianity espoused by Tancred, not Mother Teresa. Yeah, I like the type of Christianity espoused by Richard the Lionheart. Not Peter Hitchens. All right, let's see what else we got. Begum's dad stopped her return and repatriates hero. Oh, that's PJ Blackham. PJ Blackham? Begum's dad stopped her return and repatriates hero. Yeah. I would not let her back in a million years. Send her to Bangladesh. Let her face justice in Bangladesh. See how they do with her there. We don't want to break up families, do we? Let's get her reunited with Daddy. Don't want to break up families. Okay. Convincing Reality says Islamic terrorists are running for political positions. Yeah, they literally are in Birmingham. A convicted Islamic terrorist is running for councillor for the Greens, I believe. Or is it an independent? In Birmingham. So it's literally true. That's a statement of fact there. They go on to say, Convincing Reality goes on to say, there are reports that other, quote, ISIS brides, quote, have been snuck back in by the government. Never forget. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I saw one or two rumblings about that. I wouldn't be surprised. That's what they do. You know, like Robert Jemrick just letting loads and loads of thousands of Afghans come over here, many of whom have already committed heinous crimes. Yeah, our country, the elite at the top of our country and in the Home Office and the borders are traitors. Traitors to the native people and to the general good. To the interests of the people and the nation. Traitors to that. Okay. Where am I? Okay. Luke Stewart says, I think the best way to deal with Mexico is for America to re-manifest destiny and head south. Everyone wins because the border will be south of Mexico. Or you just completely annex Mexico. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. Yeah. Trump's not really all that wrong when he describes Mexico as a failed state. At this stage, it's a failed state. I wouldn't advocate for annexing Mexico and making that bit of land more states of the United States. Not that. But it is a failed state, isn't it? It's failing to be a normal functioning country, isn't it? To have a normal functioning society. It's failed to do that. It has failed. Okay. Mr. Dickie Bingo says, Paulden. Can I say that word? It says, Paulden, the tit whisperer, is a proper wrong'un. Couldn't agree more. A right royal wrong'un. A wrong'un-ult. It's a wrong'un-ult. Okay, a few more. Luke Stewart says, I said this 25 years ago. All the US had to do was find a mountain or a piece of desert and just drop the sun. I guess you're talking about nukes, because you go and say, I think we remind people what MAD is. MAD, mutually assured destruction. Maybe you're talking about Iran. I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about there. Or maybe Mexico, just to scare Mexico. Drop a nuclear bomb on an uninhabited area, but just to send a message. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about there, Luke, sorry. But Luke Stewart again says, if you're wondering about what I meant by the sun, I was referring to a nuclear weapon. Apparently you can't say the short term on YouTube. The short term on YouTube. Okay, and the final one, Principled Uncertainty, says, Ben Habib tried to put pressure on Lowe with a public offer of a merger just so he could seek from the failed project to a rising star. Cry more, Ben. Yeah, the whole Ben Habib, Rupert Lowe thing, the advance restore thing, is very disappointing. Very, very disappointing. Ben Habib seems to have revealed himself as an egoist. It's a vanity, it's something of a vanity project for him. Just hand it over, Ben. Sorry, Ben, just hand the whole thing over to Rupert. You're not prepared to do that, are you? In the final reckoning, you won't do that. It's looking like, isn't it? Well, you'll just bleed support then over to restore. Do it. It'll happen that way. All right, there you go. All right, well, one more just came in. Why not read it out? It just popped up there. That's from August Seidling. It says, just wanted to let you know, Your efforts to pronounce nuclear correctly is deeply appreciated. Thank you. Yeah. I've got to think about it almost every time. I'll get used to it eventually. But thank you. I appreciate that you appreciate it. It's for you guys. All right, that's the show. It is now 14 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Tuesday the 24th of February in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been watching Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as The Bo Show, a.k.a. Breakfast with Bo, the hashtag The Real BBC, a.k.a. Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag The Real LBC. Have a good day. Have a good day ahead. You've only got it once. Try and make it count. Carpe diem. If you can. I know having a normal adult life means that a lot of your days have to be spent doing mundane things. And you can't really make it count. But if you can, if you're in a position to make this day count, to do something of value, seize the opportunity. All right, until tomorrow morning, take care.